Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the first season of Ahsoka, which is part of the live-action Star Wars shows they're doing on Disney+. This takes place a little bit after the first trilogy and is in the same kind of set of shows as Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett. And I was curious about this. I was familiar with the Ahsoka character from watching some of the early stuff from the Clone Wars animated series. I did not watch the entire thing. But as we started watching this, it became very clear to me that not only was it drawing on that, but it was drawing on the Star Wars Rebels TV show that I've watched like none of.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of it.
I know enough about it to recognize Ezra from that show and a few things like that. But while it was an entertaining show and a good show, it was leaning on a part of the canon or extended canon, depending how you count it, of Star Wars that I was unfamiliar with.
Yeah, me too.
Now, I think they did a decent job building up the characters and kind of establishing them here and saying, okay, they've got a backstory and we just got to go run with it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something that strikes me as a questionable decision when you've got, I don't know how many movies we've got now, but we've got, I'm going to say, less than 25 hours of movie of Star Wars stuff. Maybe, and I'm being very generous here, 25 hours if you count Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett, to pull in 25 hours-ish worth of stuff from the Clone Wars animated series, the Rebels animated series, and I don't know, maybe they're pulling from some other stuff too, because I know there have been a few other animated series. And to be pulling from Thrawn, from the Timothy Zahn novels from
the 1991? Early 90s, yeah.
30 years ago?
Well, I think we would benefit from some, albeit made brand new just for this, but some flashback footage to how Thrawn and Ezra ended up where they are now at the beginning of the series.
I'm presuming that was from the finale of Rebels, but I could be wrong on that. But you know how they do, like, the Marvel Legends stuff?
Yeah.
Here's a crash course on Loki and variants before you watch second season of Loki and stuff. I think we would have benefited from that if they had done that kind of a recap of, for those who don't know, here's who Ahsoka is, here's who Ezra is, here's who Thrawn is, here's who Sabine Wray is.
Or even working into the story, Sabine having nightmares about how Ezra ended up where he is, which I think would have also gotten us how Thrawn ended up where he is.
It would have. Well, it's interesting because while they were trying to be accessible to viewers who are not in the know of that stuff, there are a couple of things that I don't really feel they explained. I mean, what was your take when Ahsoka encounters Anakin on that kind of light bridge?
No clue.
Yeah. That's one of the few episodes of Rebels that I've skimmed because, and I forget how I got into this. Time travel is very much a Star Trek thing, very much not a Star Wars thing, except for this two-parter, I think it was, in Rebels, where they encounter the, I forget if it was the Bridge of Time or the Archway of Time, something, and people are kind of going from one point in time to another through that looking space or whatever.
It was beautifully done.
And it looked like a very accurate live-action depiction of what they'd done in the computer animated series.
I mean, the visuals were gorgeous. The de-aging of Ahsoka was beautiful. Some of the visuals in terms of Anakin changing into Darth Vader and back at one point we had a silhouette of Ahsoka with sort of the battle behind her.
Yeah.
I mean,
some great visuals.
Yeah, that may have been one of my favorite episodes in terms of the visuals.
I'm curious when they were showing battles from the Clone Wars, if there are corresponding scenes from the Clone Wars animated series, and how close were they? Is it just, yep, that's the same thing, or no, they basically did a live-action recreation or something? I just don't know.
And early in the series, like pretty sure it was even the first episode, we had the mural on the wall.
Yes.
That seemed to be the characters as they appeared in the animated.
Yes, very much so. It may have even been some of the promo art for the animated series.
Now, because of where all the characters are at the end of the series, we can't, you know, reunite them and put them in front of that mural. But I wouldn't have minded having someone standing, even if it was Hera's son Jason, standing in front of the mural, kind of, especially since he's force sensitive.
Yeah.
With, if not a, you know, I wish they were all together, and then having kind of a look at Ezra in the mural and flash to where Ezra is, look at so-and-so in the mural, flash to where they are, and just give a, okay, at least all the people from the mural are still in play.
I would have used Clancy Brown's character. I forget if he was the general or whatever.
The governor, the governor or something like that. Yeah.
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 Because he would have been there.
Yeah.
And just kind of, if he was just wondering what kind of trouble have they gotten themselves into now.
Yes.
Because I thought he was well used in the beginning. I was hoping to see more of him.
He really was. Yeah.
And overall, I really enjoyed the show.
Mm-hmm.
It worked better for me than basically some of the other seasons we've gotten of Star Wars lately.
Yes.
And
it had nice flow to it.
It had nice flow. It had nice action. It felt Star Wars-ish.
There was one part, I guess it was near the end of an episode, where we've encountered the Star Whales.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to figure out traveling between galaxies. And I flat out pointed out to you, but this is the Star Wars way to deal with the situation and the Star Whales versus if this were Star Trek.
Yes.
And I loved that it wasn't a, you know, we got the show wrong and we went with the Star Trek way. And then, of course, because David Tennant is doing an android
Tennant
voice here.
The voice of the main android was a lot of fun.
Yeah, which was great. But then I started thinking, you know, it's actually amazing how similar it is to how Doctor Who would do it.
It is. It is. And I do have to wonder how Tennant got the role as the mm-hmm. voice of the droid here. And if that had anything to do with Disney Plus being kind of tied into the Doctor Who stuff now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because interesting potential cross-promotion. But, I mean, going back to your point with the whales, if this were Star Trek, they would have studied the whales, they would have heard all the technobabble, they would have analyzed the stuff to get to death versus the, let's go just ride the whales across the galaxy.
There was just this great, let's just hitchhike with them, whereas with Star Trek, I'm sitting here thinking they would have wanted to know how old are the whales, how long does it take the whales to make the journey, you know?
Let's study the whales, replicate the technology or what they're doing, and yeah.
I mean, just there were so many questions that we didn't ask, because this is Star Wars. Let's just go for it. Have the adventure.
You look also, though, at Andor and how some of that got to be a most political diatribe at times.
Yes.
Here, we've got Jedi. We've got aliens that look like Star Wars aliens. Mm-hmm. We've got a Mandalorian.
Well, and to the we've got aliens that remind us clearly of aliens. At one point when we end up on an alien world and we're encountering aliens, and this is where my Star Wars vocabulary is lacking, but we encounter the friendly aliens that travel around and seem to be kind of traitors, like maybe they're the Jawa of this world.
Well, they were crossed between the Jawas of sorts. And also reminded me of the Ewoks, particularly when they're fighting and stuff, and they're lobbing, you know, they've got a slingshot and some stuff like that. This was one that really, I think, understood the building blocks of Star Wars and how to put them together in new ways and do fun stuff.
Well, and when we first went out with Sabine, first went solo on that world, she encounters what I guess would have been the equivalent of, what, the Sand Raiders?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, kind of the we attack first, we talk later.
They're not exact parallels, but they're analogous enough that it feels right.
Yeah.
And just her interaction with the beast she was given as a horse, essentially, reminded me of some of the back and forth we've seen in various Star Wars things.
Yeah.
So it had that feel of Star Wars.
Yeah. It all felt comfortable and familiar without feeling like a retread.
Yeah, being familiar yet being new is a tough thing. And I would say one of the other things in Star Wars that I think captured that aspect of going a new ground with, in that case, new characters, but having that sense of the familiar and stuff like that was the, I want to say it was the Knights of the Old Republic stuff. It was John Jackson Miller's comic book series he did for 50 issues. And it had basically somebody who was kind of sort of the Han Solo-ish type, mm-hmm. you know. It had all the different building blocks of the Star Wars, but in new and interesting ways, but nothing that violated, again, the not so much the canon. It's like how Lucille Ball and her character of Lucy, there were certain things you could and could not or should not do with the character.
Yeah.
Because if you break those, the audience won't accept it.
Yeah.
And there are various things with Star Wars that if you go too far afield or do it in the wrong way, the audience isn't going to feel like it's Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is, okay, you got to have the lightsaber. Lightsaber's got to work this way. It's got to sound this way. Some of it is the subject matter. Again, there were parts of Andor and I'm trying to think what was the other show we watched where it's like this just doesn't feel like it belongs in Star Wars. I mean, it's clearly set in the universe,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the story feel that I want.
Yeah.
Or expect. This, I think, did a great job. Now, part of it is Dave Filoni was in charge of Clone Wars and Rebels, which is why I think they pulled so much from there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had well-established characters that they were coming back and revisiting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't revisiting them. I was meeting them for the first time.
Yeah.
And I imagine this had to be how people who watched third season of Star Trek Picard felt if they'd never watched Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting the band back together. I'm like, who the hell's the band?
Yeah.
And I could see some of the dynamic. I could see some of the stuff. And am I curious now about what happened in Clone Wars and Rebels? Yes. Do I want to spend the 25 plus hours it would probably take? I don't know how long each of them ran. To watch both of those shows? I don't know.
That's probably a big commitment is my problem.
Well, yeah. And it's a bigger commitment than all the Star Wars movies. It's possibly as big of a, maybe not as big of a commitment as just the live action shows they've done. But when you pull in that much, and I forget how long the Timothy Zahn books were, but I want to say they were 300 pages a piece. It was a trilogy, and that's just the origin of his first appearances
mm-hmm.
from 30 years ago. I mean, I read them. I enjoyed them. I thought Thrawn was a viable Star Wars villain, but that was 30 years ago. Seeing him in live action?
I didn't think they really gave us enough of Thrawn for him to be a viable villain here.
I think they were going with Thrawn on the assumption we knew who he was and were impressed by that already, and I think that was a mistake.
My take on Thrawn here was he was the Hitler of this universe, and this is after Hitler allegedly died in the bunker, and we have just found out, no, he didn't actually die during World War II. He's coming back. And we're all supposed to know Hitler and World War II and that whole history.
I don't know if Hitler is the name I would use, because I think Thrawn was the tactician, the strategist, the planner, that sort of a thing. He had seen the fall of the Death Star,
okay.
the fall of the Emperor, the fall of Vader, and learned from all of their mistakes.
Oh, interesting.
He had climbed up the ranks, being methodical, being planning, outmaneuvering people. He was the chess master sort.
Okay.
If not literally, but at least figuratively. But they never once set that up here. And even if they had just been Jason, the kid who was in Hera's kid, who's Thrawn or whatever, and they explain, or somebody. Because I don't know if they had anybody in this group that was not part of the band being reunited. And I feel if they had had that external character, that could have been the, well, who the hell is Thrawn?
Mm-hmm.
And could have been the, let me give you the thumbnail and get a quick recap of.
You know what the funny way to do that would have been? Have Jason, when Hera is going to her ship and she's going to skip out on the meeting and she's going to go whether they want to or not, and Jason's going with her, and have someone say, doesn't Jason need to be in school? I mean, today's the day they're learning about Thrawn, and have him just turn around and give what would have been the teacher's lecture about Thrawn.
Yes, I know this. How could I not?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a, if it's such common knowledge, even the kid already knows it. And thus, A, he's good to go with mom, and B, that gives us the info dump. But it, to me, it would have been if it's such common knowledge, even the kid knows it.
It doesn't that even have to be amped common it up knowledge, too. But it's personal enough information to Hera and her crew that he'd heard all about it 6 ways to Sunday.
Yeah.
And kind of a, how do you not know? And the response could have been, it's classified. How do you know, kid?
Yeah.
I mean, there's tons that, of ways you could have played that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they ever really establish him much.
The closest they come to your chess master bit is that digital game board looking thing where he keeps saying, but I'm a step ahead of her, but I'm a step ahead of her.
But they could have sold that if there'd been a, and here's where he nearly conquered the galaxy, and here's where he nearly did it again, and here's where, and only through this Jedi or that Jedi or this happening or that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And not having seen what I presume happened at the finale of Rebels with Ezra basically using the whales to get his ship across to another galaxy and stuff, stranding him there. How did he have the Star Destroyer, whatever it was? What happened to all of his troops? What's the deal with that stormtrooper guy with kind of the gold face or whatever?
Yeah.
It looks like some of these stormtroopers, their armor may be falling apart and had to be kind of tied back together or something like that. What's up with that? There's a lot left to the imagination. I don't need all of this spelled out, but it feels like because I haven't seen Rebels, only watched a little bit of Clone Wars, I don't know the backstory this is building on. I don't know its foundation.
Well, what I struggled with was Thrawn seemed to simultaneously have a lack of resources. The stormtroopers having to tie together their armor. And an abundance of resources. Let's look at all these mines he has in space.
The mines in space, how the hell did he have so many to do that? That just didn't make sense. The resources on the planet, what was he loading into the Star Destroyer? What other resources? Was it just these three witches? Were there more?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many unanswered questions, and so many questions I probably don't even know to ask.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen those shows. And again, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I thought it was fun. I've got to imagine that if I knew all of that stuff, and more importantly, remembered all of that stuff, I might have gotten a whole nother layer of enjoyment out of this.
One, I think there is something about Sabine Wren as an apprentice, as a Jedi, that I don't understand in terms of Hu Yang saying she's not connected to the Force or she can't.
She was less Force sensitive than any other wannabe Jedi he'd ever met.
Yeah. And that's something that intrigued me and I wanted to understand.
Well, where did Hu Yang come from? Why was he not wiped out when the Jedi were wiped out back with the Order 56 or 65, whatever the hell it was, in the prequel trilogies and stuff? How did he survive? How did he get hooked up with this crew of rebels and stuff like that? And I'm sure all of that's answered in Rebels. But I haven't seen that.
Well, but the other question you actually asked while we were watching it, which I'd been wondering for a while, was how common a knowledge is it?
Yes.
That Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader. Because there were so many mentions of Anakin here.
A lot of mentions of Anakin, but I don't know that the name Darth Vader was ever used.
Not that I recall.
And then there was another Jedi here, former Jedi, that isn't Sith, but isn't Jedi, and what's up with that? And that ended on an incomplete note.
Which is unfortunate, given the actor passed away.
Yes, and that was Ray
Stevenson,
I believe, who did a fantastic job. I thought he was great here.
He really was. His wardrobe reminded me of like the Black Prince from one of those Camelot or First Knight type movies.
Take an Arthurian Dark Knight, essentially, and kick him in Star Wars get up.
Yeah, I loved it.
It worked great, but that was a whole plot line or subplot implied of, he's got a protege, where did he pick her up, trainer, why, all that kind of a stuff, that they scratched the surface of here. His story wasn't done at the end of the season. Her story wasn't done at the end of the season. Two characters are stranded across the galaxy. Thrawn's back in the Star Wars galaxy. Ezra somehow not only is, but has gotten to Hera magically. And I'm assuming they're getting a second season. I don't know that for sure. But okay. How can they not?
Here's a question about Thrawn. Is there anyone he didn't betray?
The three witches.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know that he betrayed. He certainly used a lot of people. But I was wondering at the end, is he going to betray the three witches? Are they going to betray him? And neither happened.
Do you think there's an argument that the three witches could feel betrayed by Morgan Elsbeth's death?
No. No. She was a pawn to them.
Okay.
They reached out from across the galaxy. That's who answered. That's who was useful. She served her purpose. They are done.
Because it almost looked like they were setting her up as a, if she survives, she takes our place here. So yes, we have a placeholder.
Well, and given the resurrection of the zombie troopers or whatever.
That's true.
We may not be done with her. That may be what takes what had been just some scarring or whatever to the full on look of these three witches.
Yeah. Because she
was getting, died. That's not to say she's dead.
She was getting paler and paler as she fought. Yeah.
But who the hell are these witches? What's their story? We scratched the surface on that.
And what's their cargo?
Yeah, the cargo. I mean, there was a lot of things that were implied but not really examined.
There were so many teases for a future, whether it's a next season, into the movies, whatever. There were so many teases.
Well, and I've heard that this Mandalorian and Boba Fett are all kind of building to something.
Interesting.
But I don't know how much of that plan was before things may have kind of gotten some bumps in the road.
Mm.
But I'm figuring this gets another season.
I hope so.
I don't know that it should have been called Ahsoka, because there was one episode she was barely in.
Yeah.
Not that that's unusual for some of these Star Wars shows, but it also very much felt like a Rebels reunion kind of a show.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had realized that before we watched it, I might have done some research on Rebels. We might have watched at least the pilot, the finale, and a couple of key things in between to understand who these characters are to some degree.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of an abbreviated viewing. But I was not expecting those characters to come into play, much less be focal throughout the season.
Mm-mm.
And I'm happy with that they were.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them. But I would have prepped for this a little differently if I knew how much canon that I was unfamiliar with that it was building on.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't need to do that kind of prep.
That's what I was just thinking. It's sad when I feel the need to prep to watch entertainment.
It's one thing if it's been 2 years since I'd seen the previous movie this is a sequel to, maybe it's worth rewatching and going forward or something. Or where did the last season end off before a new season starts? But this was arguably a new show.
Yeah.
We'd seen her appearance in Mandalorian, so
mm-hmm.
That's what I thought it would be kind of branching off of or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I like the actress. I like the character. That was enough to get me to watch.
Yes. And again, I like the action. I like the visuals, the architecture of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Ton of fun here when we see the big cities and all that kind of stuff. So it checked the boxes for me on the Star Wars aspect.
Mm-hmm.
It checked it most of the time on the effects and the visuals. There were one or two times where it's like, yeah, that could have been better.
Yeah.
The compositing or something was a little off.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid that by the time we get a second season, which I feel we have to get because this was not complete in and of itself,
mm-hmm.
that I will have forgotten enough of what happened here that it might be worth rewatching before jumping into the next. I don't know.
I'm trying to think what a high level theme of the season would have been. I mean, other than leave no man behind, I'm kind of struggling.
Unfinished business. You left somebody behind, gotta go get them.
Yeah.
It's for the Empire.
Yeah.
You know, there were a couple of places where, like, one shipyard was still effectively being run by Empire loyalists. That's unfinished business. There was, I forget if it was that senator or whatever who kept...
Yeah, just because people say that they support the new government doesn't mean they support the new government, which... To me.
Well, but my point is the one guy on the council that kept arguing and stuff, I really think he's an Empire loyalist.
Me too.
But that never really got, we never see him outside of those arguments and stuff like that. Who is he? Why do we care? Why is he speaking up?
But I guess my point is if you're going to put out a show with a message and part of that message is somebody, just because somebody says, yep, we've elected a new head of government, a new government, whatever.
Yeah.
Just because I say I support it doesn't mean I actually support it. Is that a great message to be putting out there? Don't trust people?
True. Well, it's funny because I think this show was very much from the Rebels' point of view.
Yes.
Granted, they're now the New Republic. gone is the rebellion and such. But that's so counter to even Andor, which is the start of the rebellion, feeling a very empire-ish tone.
Yeah.
And stuff. So I feel the different eras we're living in Star Wars right now through some of these shows are a little hard to reconcile because, again, they take place at very different key points in the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that they had a particular theme for the season. I think there were definitely some arcs, particularly for Sabine, who I think was really the lead character here.
Yeah, I loved how they used her.
Yeah, I don't know that there was as much of an arc for Ahsoka or Hera or really most of the other characters.
I think Ahsoka's journey was as a master to her apprentice.
Kind of the reconciliation and that unfinished business.
I think it was more than the reconciliation. I think it was more learning what it meant to be the teacher.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, I can see that.
You know, and I think one of the best scenes between them was when she was saying, you know, Anakin always stood by me, even when I made questionable decisions.
Yeah, he always understood. He was always there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, again, begs the question, how many people know Anakin became Darth Vader?
Yes.
Because it throws a totally different light on that conversation.
And it does, definitely. But kind of she's recognizing that her own fears caused her to turn away from her apprentice rather than to stand by her and train her and do everything she could to help her and really to fight for her.
If the fall of Mandalore, if that's been shown, if that was in one of the cartoons, animated series, because they were computer animated, not physical animated. If that's actually been shown somewhere, if that's just something that happened between things. Because it was definitely being built on here. It's a major part of later seasons of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So, and I'm curious how all of that may eventually tie together. Because Sabine, while being a Mandalorian, didn't feel particularly Mandalorian and this is the way or something of the sort. Yeah, I was thinking that too. Even her armor seems pared down compared to a typical Mandalorian and doesn't have the signature jetpack.
Well, but there seems to be kind of a Mandalorian as in I am from the planet of Mandalore, and then Mandalorian as in I follow the way of the Mandalore. That makes sense?
Well, absolutely. She's certainly from Mandalore. She is not this is the way the helmeted ones on the Mandalorians are, or even the helmetless ones that still follow a variant of the way.
And part of that seems to be because when she was orphaned, she went with the rebels as opposed to, well, she was already a rebel when the fall of Mandalore happened.
I'm curious how old she was when she fell in with the rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this goes back to a lot of the backstory is there to be had. I just don't have it.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't know that they needed to do massive recaps of all of that, but to not do recaps of any of that.
Yeah.
Particularly when we get to the scene with Ahsoka meeting Anakin, that out of context, it's like, what the hell is going on here? But if you, since I have an inkling what it was leaning towards, I kind of got it.
Mm-hmm. For me, it was just is she going to go to the afterlife or not?
Yeah, it's essentially a near-death experience dreamscape.
Yeah.
But I think there's more to it in a way that honestly feels a little un-Star Wars-ish. So again, I'm wondering, should we have watched Rebels? And if so, what would be those key episodes that would be worth watching?
Mm-hmm.
And would that really inform our opinion of this? Or had we been knowledgeable about those characters, would that have been detrimental to this series? Because, they don't feel the same, they act different, or whatever. I don't know.
That's a good point. And
this is something where the baggage we do or don't bring in
influences
how we watch this.
Yeah. I will say my favorite species of the series was the little, I'm going to call them turtle-like beings. The
turtle guys were interesting.
That had rescued Ezra and were sheltering him. Yeah. I loved those guys.
Those guys were good. I didn't care for the look of Hu Yang, the android, but the attitude, the voice, terrific.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about the little arms on the back and what's up with that.
Yeah.
And has he been seen somewhere else? Got to imagine he was in Rebels, and therefore is there an action figure for him or not? But again, David Tennant just did a great job with that.
Yeah.
All the actors, I think, did a really good job.
Yeah.
I don't think there were anywhere I'm thinking, oh, geez, this person, they're dragging it down or anything. So good casting.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people did good with the material. I thought they got good material. I just think the material was, again, based on lore that a decent percentage of hardcore, in quotes, Star Wars movie fans just don't have.
Yeah.
And this is not the first time they've brought stuff in from the cartoons and stuff. And I've had one conversation with a bunch of people that are in the know on Star Wars, and one who'd seen the cartoon was able to explain it to the others.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it's not often I need something like that explained to me, but I can't watch everything. I can't consume everything.
Sad, but true.
And neither could this other fellow, but he'd happen to see the thing that was relevant.
And
so.
Yeah, and sometimes, well, and I hate to say sometimes it would help if they would just tell us, but I don't feel like there should be prerequisites.
No, but this is also part of why I think stories need to be accessible.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways you can fit that into the story to establish the continuity you need and stuff. And that is also why I'm not a fan of spoilers, because everything is new to people who haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Thrawn's been around 30 years. That doesn't mean everybody knows who he is. Not everybody's read those novels.
Yeah, I haven't.
You know, I forget how long ago the Clone Wars and Rebels shows were out there, but not everybody's watched them.
Yeah.
So don't just assume that there's like a time limit on spoilers. That kind of thing drives me nuts. But as a writer, if you're leveraging past stuff, don't assume everybody just knows what it is magically. You don't got to stop the story, spell it out in heavy exposition and drag the story down or anything. But you can tell us what we need to know as we go along. And I think this show gave us enough to understand, not necessarily enough to fully appreciate.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And I enjoyed it. I liked it. But I think if I had that full appreciation, I might have loved it.
Yeah.
So it's good. Recommend it. Certainly hope there's going to be a second season. I will be disappointed if there's not, because this ended at end of book, not end of story.
Yeah, I agree.
So, anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.